Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel is written to us by Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. Now the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." And Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, and he made him stand on the very parapet of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For is it not written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil finally took him to a very high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you, if you will but prostrate yourself and worship me." And at this Jesus said, "Go away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. The first and the third readings are, of course, very central and important to the entire drama of creation and salvation. But let's start with the wonderful Genesis story, the creation myth of Western civilization. And there we have a most astounding story, because we have God telling Adam and Eve they can eat of all of the trees in the garden. That's a big permission. God is willing to allow us to make all kinds of mistakes. God isn't as upset at mistakes as we are. He's used to them. That's all he gets. That's what life means. But then he says there's one tree that you shall not eat of, with a most unusual name: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why would that be a bad thing to eat of? Haven't you taken some good classes on what's good and what's bad, what's right and what's wrong? Here's the problem. Notice that it says, if you eat of this tree, you will be like God. Only God knows what's really good and what's really evil. And the great pride and arrogance of religion, and here we have a warning against it, right at the very beginning of the Bible, is to think that we know. The arrogance of knowing. I know who's going to heaven. I know who's going to hell. I know who's right. I know who's wrong. Let me tell you something. What characterizes evil? Evil is always absolutely certain. Evil suffers no self-doubt. It brooks no criticism. I am right, and I know. We who are trying to live what we hope is a good life, we have to live in the hinterlands called faith, where we're never absolutely sure we're right. Dang it. Who wants that? And if you think of most religion that has ever turned you off, and there's a lot of it that should, it's always led by people who are absolutely sure they're right. They suffer no self-doubt. They have the whole truth. They know who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. They know who's right and who's wrong. They've got the world neatly divided up, and of course they're always right, and the rest of the world and the other religions are always wrong. What a waste of time. What stupidity. And we're warned against it in the very first chapter of the Bible. Don't go there. Well, actually, this is the third chapter. Because you'll only be, it'll kill you. You will most surely die. Now, let's jump forward to this gospel that I just read. And we have, well, so many points I could preach on it for an hour. I promise you I won't. But we have this strange phenomenon of the devil quoting scripture. Oh my God. That's not the way it's supposed to be, is it? No, nice people quote the Bible. Here we have the utter misuse of religion. That in fact you can quote the Bible for your own purposes. We have the devil using the Word of God. And if you note, all three of the temptations are temptations to the misuse of power. Brothers and sisters, the need for power in all of its multitudinous forms is deep in all of us. We all want to be in charge. We all want to be in control. We all want to be number one. We all want to be right. And that demon does not die easily. It keeps coming back and tempting us in new forms. It's scary how subtle the temptations become. You could say the first one is a religious temptation to use the Word of God for your own empowerment. The second one is, again, a temptation of the misuse of religion itself, standing on the top of the temple and trying to use the Word of God, not for the freedom of anybody else, but again, to be right. And then the third one could rightly be seen as a temptation to political power, all the kingdoms of the world. And we see how much our world wants that power. We'll do anything. We'll tell any lie to get political power. When Satan sees that he cannot seduce Jesus by a misuse of power, he gives up. Isn't it interesting? And those of you in any kind of recovery program will know this, that the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous is to admit that you're powerless. The first step, you don't even get started on this spiritual journey till you can face in some essential way that you are not as powerful as you think you are. There are some things that you cannot do. There are some things that you cannot change. Dang it. Dang it. The world is what it is, and reality is always broken. There's a tragic sense to life. And what Lent is about is somehow asking for and hopefully receiving the grace to accept the essentially tragic nature of human existence. Last Wednesday, this church filled up all day, from morning till night. I'm always amazed. Why do you all come on Ash Wednesday? You don't have to, you know. But they do. They pour into church. Now, the cynic says Catholics come to church whenever they get anything for free. Whether it's palms or ashes, they all show up. There might be truth to that. But why do we want these dang ashes on our foreheads? Somehow we know that we need to be told that we came from the earth and we're going to return to the earth. And everything in between is a school. Everything in between is growing up, waking up, showing up, cleaning up, becoming the full image that you were created in, which is always and forever the image of God.